Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Now or Never by Stella Reese, narrated by John Masterson and Sarah Puckett. 1. Ian.
Fuck me if that's her. A single upward glance, and just like that, my night was screwed. In an instant, my pulse doubled, and I could feel my jaw ticking tighter and tighter under my palm as I ran my hand over my face, my eyes devouring her body in ways I told myself had strictly to do with the shock. Because what the hell was she doing here? And for Christ's sake, what the hell was she wearing?
My shoulders tensed under my suit, and my grip tightened around the low ball of scotch I suddenly wanted to pound like a shot, because now that I'd looked up, now that I'd seen her, I had a face to match to all the filthy, vulgar shit my clients had spent the past 2 minutes groaning about. And it wasn't just any face. It was one I'd known since she was only 13 years old.
Jesus fuck, how do we trade our waitress for that Playboy bunny-looking thing?
My jaw clenched at Watt's description. It wasn't far off. In fact, it was surprisingly fucking accurate, but still, I was failing to reconcile what I was seeing with what I was remembering, because the last time I saw her, she was a sweet, innocent little thing. This shy little girl wearing a powder blue backpack and braided pigtails, who I made it my job to protect because her own brother had no instinct whatsoever. But now, for Christ's sake, now there was no trace of that shy little girl as she flitted from table to table in a tight little dress, holding a tray of drinks up high and arching her back so taut I wanted to clench my teeth out of my skull.
God damn, when she bends over in that thing, Ty growled into his fist. Do it again, baby, come on!
Watt willed her, licking his grinning lips and forcing me to exhaust every muscle in my body to keep myself from knocking him the fuck out right there.
See the new waitress?
He turned to ask me, shaking his head and sucking in a sharp breath between his teeth, his way of emphasizing just how badly he wanted to fuck her. It made me picture my forearm digging into his neck as I pinned him to the wall and detailed exactly why he'd never lay a finger on her. But despite the vivid image, I managed a nod and a smirk to remain outwardly calm, casual. Sitting forward, I adjusted my onyx cufflinks, throwing in a very nice that sounded so convincingly disinterested that Watt rolled his eyes and gave a pff before turning his hungry stare back to her. And that tiny little skirt that had her legs so close to naked I had to look away. Fucking hell! I white-knuckled my drink, silently racking my brain for a plan while reminding myself that no agent had ever put his own clients on the injured list, so I shouldn't aim to be the first. Shane Watt was a top reliever in the league, and Ty Damon was one of the best sluggers in baseball. They were two of the best players on the New York Empires, two of the highest-earning contracts on my all-star roster of clients, and I really couldn't afford to kill them right now. So I opted instead to shut their fucking mouths. Enough, I cut in sharply, interrupting their debate about whether or not she was wearing a goddamned push-up bra. I could feel my eyes on fire and my blood fucking boiling, but by the time my clients turned to face me, all they saw was an easy smirk on my lips that made them grin sheepishly, because they knew this look, the one I wore right before I set their asses straight. Gentlemen, we're here tonight to talk about the Under Armour deal, but if you want to waste my time drooling over some waitress, then you're welcome to find a different agent to negotiate your contract for a third of the price, I said, leaning back in my seat. But in that case, Watt, you'd have to tell your wife that the new beach house is a no-go. Is that something you're interested in?
No! No, no, no!
Watt laughed in a panic before socking Ty in the arm.
Come on, asshole! Pay attention!
What? Me?
And just like that, we were back on topic. But as I returned to discussing business with my clients, even with my eyes fixed directly on them,
I had my attention sharply trained on her. Little Holland Maxwell. My best friend's kid sister, who was clearly all grown up, and about to make my night a living hell.
2. Holland. Did you see him yet? Mia grinned as I practically slammed my tray onto service bar, rushing to skewer cherries for all the Manhattans she was stirring for my latest table. I processed her question at a 3-second delay because I was desperately trying to remember what my giant party of businessmen had just asked me for. Nuts! I snapped my fingers when I finally remembered. Off the weird look Mia shot me, I giggled. I'm sorry. Did I see who? I asked breathlessly. Mr. S. Mr. S? Mr. Angry Sex in a Suit. I squinted at her. Shouldn't that be Mr. Asus? Or Aceus? Don't ask me. Your fellow waitstaff made it up. Mia laughed, stirring the amber mixture of whiskey and vermouth with a long metal spoon. I just go with it because he is one absurdly fine piece of ass. I thought you weren't into the suit-wearing type. In fact, I distinctly remember you saying that men aren't attractive unless they're sweating through a dirty t-shirt while chopping firewood. And I stand by that. But Mr. S is an exception because he is criminally hot, and he always looks so stern and serious and mean. Mia's stirring slowed as she bit her lip and squinted wistfully into the distance. I'm into it. I burst out laughing. Well, I'm not really into mean guys, so he's all yours. Actually, he's nobody's, Mia corrected, snapping right out of her dream state. He's been coming here for years now, and none of the girls have been able to get him to look at them for more than the second it takes to order his drink, she said, smirking as Lana marched over. Not even Tits McGee over here. Lana huffed and stuck her nose in the air. Funny you mention that, since it's all changing tonight, she said, pushing me aside to grab some napkins off the bar. He's different tonight, and I'm pouncing, so get ready to pay up, bitches. As soon as she came, she went, and when I cocked an eyebrow at Mia, she gave a snort. There's an ongoing bet about which of the girls is going to finally get his attention, she explained, pouring my drinks into their cute little glasses. My money's on Jasmine the hostess, mostly because she isn't a raging bitch. Well, in that case, I'm Team Jasmine, too. I laughed before taking off with my drinks to my section. I was pretty much team whoever Mia likes, since she was the only reason I landed this killer side gig a couple weeks back. Aside from being my roommate, she was the head bartender here, and basically my tall, gorgeous, potty-mouthed guardian angel since I arrived in New York. 5 weeks in, and I was still thanking my lucky stars that I found her with that extremely sketchy-looking apartment listing she put up on Craigslist. It had just been a 2-sentence description with no pictures at all, which gave it big-time serial killer vibes, according to my friend AJ, but I still went for it. Because for me, it was a risk worth taking to execute the Great Escape, which was what my brother Adam nicknamed my plan to finally move away from home. I'd started hatching it senior year of high school, since the day I pled, literally on my knees, for Mom to let me dorm at college, to let me have just the tiniest taste of independence. She was the town's most notorious helicopter mom, and at 17, she still dictated what I wore out of the house, what I watched on TV, how I decorated my room. For the record, it was all pinks and pastels. Because all my life, I served as nothing but her precious little doll, her do-over child who was raised to be perfectly quiet, polite, obedient, Basically everything Adam wasn't. He was unmanageably wild. I was exceptionally docile, and that was just how it was in our family. Which was why I wound up commuting daily from our home in Jersey to my classes at Parsons School of Design. 3 hours back and forth every day with a 9 p.m. curfew, just to ensure that I wasn't out drinking or partying like every other kid my age. And if I ever caught anything later than the 8 p.m. bus home from Port Authority, Mom would grill me for hours, search my purse, smell my breath, and if it was an extra special night, change the Wi-Fi password before reminding me in a fit of tears about the torture she went through raising Adam and how she refused to let another Adam happen again. So, yeah, I love my mom. I swear I do. But I was more than ready to move by the time I graduated college, which meant I was more than happy to chance it on Mia's super sketchy listing. And thank God I did. Because now, after 4 years of secretly busting my ass by working 2, sometimes 3 jobs during school to save up and move out, I was finally, finally my own woman. An adult who made my own decisions, paid my own bills, and had my own rush hour commute to a job at a company I'd wanted to work for since I was 14 years old. I was, at long last, living the life I'd been dreaming up and plotting out in a little notebook since I was that painfully sheltered, overprotected child constantly holed up in her bedroom. And it all started with Mia Zamora choosing me to live with her at her bomb-ass apartment in the East Village, which was why I was still, on pretty much a daily basis, thanking God Almighty for her. "Hey, babe," she called to get my attention, whistling me back to service bar once I finished dropping off the Manhattans at my table 12. "These are the IPAs for your table 10, but before you drop them, will you drop this check real quick at Mr. Ass's table? Lana was supposed to like 20 minutes ago, but she's too busy trying to seduce him right now." "Got it," I nodded dutifully, stacking my tray with the beers before grabbing Mr. Ass's check and narrowing playful eyes at Mia. "Is he really that hot?" "Girl," she shot me a very serious look. My thong melted off my ass the first time I looked at him. "But if you don't believe me, you're about to see for yourself," she said, making me snort as she reached over service bar to fluff my hair and yanked my neckline down a couple inches. "Just try not to have heat stroke and die, okay? 'Cause I can't afford to pay rent on my own." "Oh, thanks. But I think I'll survive," I laughed as I made my way to Lana's section, a smirk already curling on my lips. I had trouble believing anyone was as hot as Mia described Mr. Ass. But considering how much drama and fighting I'd witnessed among the staff in just my first few weeks here, I was excited to see the one thing in the world they could all agree on. This alleged panty scorcher of a mystery babe. It was probably about time anyway that I start letting myself look at men again. I didn't ever during college because it was just a bunch of pointless torture. I'd had some cute guys hit on me before, but there was no sense in talking for long, because once it came to being officially asked for my number, I had to explain that I didn't actually have time to meet, because not only did I still live at home with my parents, I had a bus to catch and a very early curfew to make. Pretty much all it took was one crush-worthy guy laughing in my face and saying, "Yikes," for me to just shut up about my curfew and stop talking to boys altogether. Besides, I had my fellow freak show in Brendan. He was a sweet, soft-spoken family friend whose mom was best friends with mine. Since he grew up similarly smothered, he commuted home with me every day after his classes at NYU, and we wound up dating junior and senior year because, well, we were each other's only options. We fumbled through our first kisses together, clumsily lost our virginities to one another, and while I held on to hope that it would start to feel good at some point, like that hot, breathless, passionate sex I saw in movies, we never came anywhere close to finding our rhythm. Partly because doing it in his classmate's dorm room during the 20-minute window that we could afford to meet up wasn't the most romantic thing in the world. But mostly because he never lasted more than 2 minutes. And I'd never been genuinely attracted to him in the first place. So I tried to break it off senior year, but then he cried very loudly on the bus and reminded me that this would upset our moms, which he was absolutely right about. So I stayed with him till exactly 5 weeks ago, when I pulled off the great escape. "And now you're free," I exhaled with a minty fresh wave of gratitude as my heeled feet weaved through the candlelit tables in Lana's section. "Free to talk to all the boys you want, go on all the dates you want, free to have all the real non-dorm room sex you want with hot guys like Mr. Ass." I smirked to myself, assuming he's really that hot. I had to suppress my amusement as I closed in on his booth, because our resident flirt, Lana, was being even sultrier than usual while standing in front of the table, one hand holding her tray up high and the other placed on her very dramatically cocked hip. "Come on, lady. Way to block my whole view," I snorted inwardly as I came up behind her, though just as the thought crossed my mind, she lowered her tray. And bam. The world's greenest eyes locked on mine, and I nearly dropped all my beer because holy fucking shit. 3. Holland. My heart slammed so hard in my chest that I swore my whole body careened forward. In my mind, I just gasped so hard I lost my footing, dropped my tray, and toppled beer-soaked onto the table. But in reality, I was frozen, completely still and barely breathing, because sitting before me in that booth was a sex god in a suit. An absurdly expensive-looking dark gray suit wrapped around that long, muscled, achingly perfect body I'd once memorized by heart. Because I wasn't staring at just some hot regular my coworkers were obsessed with. I was staring at Ian. As in Ian Thorne. As in my brother's best friend, my childhood crush, and the devastatingly beautiful man I'd loved since the day I laid eyes on him. Who used to help me with my homework. Who took me to my first baseball game and picked me up from my first sleepover because I couldn't make it through the night. He wasn't just the sexy bad boy object of my every teenage fantasy. He was the sole bright spot of my lonely adolescence. The warm, protective big brother I never had in Adam. But right now, he was staring at me with his green eyes steely, hard on me. Like he was mad at me? Wait, what? Holland! The check? I blinked as Lana's tart question broke through my daze. She had her hand held out, and judging from the "what's your problem" tone of her voice, she'd already asked me more than once. "Oh, I'm sorry," I blurted as I grabbed the check off my tray, but my fingers were clumsy and my pulse was hammering out of control because holy hell, was this really happening? The last time I saw Ian Thorne, he was 27 and I was 17. Still painfully shy, still mommy's little angel. For the love of God, the last time I saw him, I was trying to sneak a sip of his beer as he and Adam fixed my parents' deck. And I still remembered that peering side eye and irresistible smirk on his gorgeous face when he caught me. I remembered the way he ambled over to me, wiping the sweat off his brow before dropping his gaze to my mouth and gently twisting the bottle out from my lips with a clean, wet pop. "Nice try, kid. Come back when you're legal. He had laughed before ruffling my hair. And now, 5 years later, here I was, legal in every way, a cocktail waitress in Manhattan. And on the other side of the table, there he was, at the very bar where I worked, sitting directly in front of me, pinning his hot stare on me, but saying nothing to me. What the hell? Am I dreaming? Is this real? A million questions ricocheted through my brain as I simply stared back at Ian, so breathless and disoriented that I hardly registered Lana reaching over to snatch the check out of my hands. Thank you, she ground out impatiently before returning her flirty attention to the table. Here you are, Mr. Thorne. Can I get you anything else? She lilted, back to her baby voice as she leaned over the table to hand Ian the check. And in the 2 seconds it took for him to take it, I hastily drank him all in. Mother of God, I cursed myself, the wind freshly knocked from my lungs, because if he was hot back then, he was fucking lethal now. Once buzzed close to his skull, his dark hair was longer now, impeccably groomed. His chiseled jaw sported the perfect amount of facial hair, and his body, God, I could see that his athletic frame was broader now, even more built than the last time I saw him. On top of that, he was all clean lines and shiny cufflinks in that crisp, tailored suit. And I actually had to unstick my tongue from the roof of my mouth as I stared, because while he'd always been super strong, now he looked powerful, important. Every bit the very big deal I knew he'd become since he moved to this city. Gentlemen, Lana simpered. You'll have to excuse Holland's staring. I blinked. Crap. Yanked back to earth, I snatched my gaze up from Ian's chest, and my breath hitched in my throat when I found his piercing gaze locked once again on mine. Wolfish, yet nonchalant. Almost matter-of-fact, as if he had every right to just sit there, leaning back in his seat, slowly thumbing the side of his rocks glass, casually stealing all the air from my lungs. So, no hi, how are you? It's been a while. We're just going to pretend like we don't know each other? Lana giggled. Yeah, Holland's brand new here, so she's still getting used to keeping it cool around our high-profile clientele. She smirked, her bold red lip curling as she peered over at me. Poor girl, still needs a ton of experience.
Well, shit. You could have fooled me.
The deep twang pierced through my haze and made my eyes flutter to my right. And only then did I notice the hulking blonde guy sitting right next to Ian. He was huge, a giant mass of man with a short ponytail, ruddy skin, and hooded eyes that wandered up, down, and all around the front of my body, shamelessly devouring my cleavage like the rules of basic social etiquette didn't apply to him. I blushed. Not from the way the stranger was staring at my boobs, but from the fact that Ian was sitting right there, watching him do it. He was stoic, but I caught the single tick in his jaw, and it made me feel all warm and tingly all over. Freakin' Mia, I cursed inwardly, embarrassed and at the same time weirdly thrilled as I remembered that she had yanked my neckline down before I came over here, just so my boobs would be extra booby for the famous Mr. Ass, who was, in fact, Ian fucking Thorne, literally the person I used to think of when I fantasized about being a grown-up, dressing sexy someday and showing off the miracle boobs I got the summer after sophomore year, that no one in the world knew about because of the stupid, childish clothing Mom always forced me to wear.
Would I be wrong about that, sweetheart?
Shit. My focus snapped back to Ruddy when I realized he was still talking to me. I'm sorry. What was that? I asked, sounding breathier than I had wanted. He grinned.
I said the way you strut around in that little dress. Would have guessed you were plenty experienced.
He said, bringing his heavy gaze back up from my skirt and tossing me a cheesy wink that would have made me want to roll my eyes if I weren't so busy being completely distracted. Because I didn't have to look to sense Ian's displeasure. I could feel it. The shift in the air, the heat of his gaze. Without even looking at him, I could feel his shoulders tensing, his body stilling. Every hair on the back of my neck was suddenly standing up now, because I could literally feel all his attention zeroing in on me, locked tight on me, as Ruddy geared up with another question.
So, new girl, what time do you get off tonight? 'Cause my boy Ty Damon is outside and we were thinking of taking the night to a club, if you want to recommend any.
Oh, don't ask her. Lana snorted hastily, interrupting the way she generally did when the spotlight strayed from her. She wouldn't know anywhere cool. She's like a baby. Total city virgin. Ruddy lifted his eyebrows at me.
Oh, yeah?
He said, a dirty grin spreading his lips so slow that it made my skin actually crawl.
Well, that's perfect for me. You know why?
He paused, seeming to savor the look of discomfort I had on my face before I humored him, reluctantly. Why? I asked. He chuckled.
'Cause there ain't nothing I like better than little blonde virgins with nice big... what?
Ian cut in. Holy fuck. A single word and a chill erupted my spine, settling into a hot buzz on the back of my neck because, God, that voice. I missed that voice. It was so low and crisp with an effortless command that froze me right in place as I watched Ruddy, rather Watt, react like a kid who'd just been scolded by his teacher. His mouth snapped shut, and I'd caught the way he startled before recovering fast, giving a scoff and flashing a cocky grin as he turned around. But when his mouth opened to say something, Ian spoke brusquely over him.
"Go wait outside with Ty,"
he said. Whoa. My mouth fell open at the steely command because it rolled off his tongue so smoothly, with no hesitation, like a man whose authority had never once been disobeyed. And maybe it hadn't. Because Watt stared in disbelief for another second, but then he sneered and muttered something under his breath, knocking back the last of his beer before getting right up and stalking wordlessly past me and a completely wide-open-mouthed Lana.
"Oh, my God,"
she whispered over her shoulder as she watched him go. Scandal glimmered in her eyes, and I could, disturbingly enough, feel how hot and bothered she was as she turned back to Ian, raking her bottom lip between her teeth.
"Sticking up for us waitresses, huh? You're gonna have to let me buy you a drink for that one, Mr. Thorne."
She purred, licking the corner of her mouth. Ian looked at her.
"I'd prefer a minute alone with Holland,"
he said. My heart thumped like a rock against my chest as I pretty much heard the smile drop off Lana's face.
"Oh," she said flatly, just standing and staring there for a second, like she was waiting for Ian to say something else or maybe change his mind.
But when he didn't, she let out a short huff of breath, shooting me a weirdly accusatory look before turning on her heel and marching right off, leaving me standing there all alone. And so insanely fucking anxious, I was having actual hot flashes. Because I had hoped to feel an instant shift once Lana was gone. To turn my head and see Ian crack a smile or hear that warm, "Hey, you," that he always had reserved just for me when he came over our house. But I got none of that. Instead, I got his emerald eyes boring into mine, scrutinizing me for another punishing second of silence before he asked,
"What are you doing here?"
I blinked, stunned. I wasn't sure what kind of greeting I was expecting at this point, but it definitely wasn't that.
I could feel my cheeks heating up and my eyebrows.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?